Based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the Sussex County Council approves the use of existing infrastructure agreement between Sussex County and Coastal Tide Partners LLC for capacity allocation in the regional transmission system for the Coastal Tide Project as presented on March 17th.
Pleasure, counsel.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions?
Where's water going?
Mr. Wilson.
Where's it going?
Yep.
Wolfneck.
Inland Bays.
Wolfneck.
Wolfneck, okay.
Or Inland Bays.
Or Inland Bays, depending on what they're doing, throw a switch, yeah. Good question.
Saying Wolfneck, maybe they get out of the water, got plenty of room back there.
Any more questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. The second one is for Sycamore Chase. This project is located in the sanitary sewer district in the Miller Creek area, and the project will be utilizing county's existing infrastructure. This agreement allows Charter Oak Development LLC, developers of Sycamore Chase, to connect 107 additional EDUs to the existing infrastructure in exchange for a catch-up contribution of $46,595. Payment will be due prior to substantial completion of the onsite pump station. System connection charges of $6,360 or the fee at time of permit request will still be due, and the developer has previously executed agreement asking for permission for council president to execute.
Questions? You have a motion?
Motion. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approves the use of existing infrastructure agreement between Sussex County and Charter Oak Investment LLC for a capacity allocation in the regional transmission system for the Sycamore Chase project as presented on March 17th, 2020.
Pleasure, counsel.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions?
Is that going south coastal, that water?
That is going south coastal.
Okay.
Any more questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Obviously, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next is going to be old business.
Oh, thanks.
I thought you were old man.
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
Okay, good, good, we're good. You're up, sir.
Okay, our first item of all business is conditional use 2203, Christopher F. Booth. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held on February 4th, which is a conditional use for a tree and landscaping business to be located at 30725 Omar Road, Frankfurt. County Council deferred action for further consideration.
Any questions of council? Mr. Moore, if you would read the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a tree and landscaping business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 1.227 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, counsel.
I move to adopt.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Riley.
Yeah, this is one that came before us, and I think one of the things that concerned me about it was that it would create a hardship for the tenant if we were denied it. But I know that Planning and Zoning Commission recommended denial of the application, but I disagree with the recommendations. I move the conditional use application for a small tree and landscaping business be approved based upon the record made in Planning and Zoning Commission and the Sussex County Council public hearings for the following reasons. The use has been ongoing for many years. The conditional use will bring the use into compliance. The applicant and his wife live on the property, which makes it akin to a home business. The site location is appropriate for the applicant's proposed use as a small tree and landscaping business, including snow removal services and the storage of firewood. The use, with conditions and limitations placed on it, will not adversely affect neighboring properties or roadways. The use is of a public or semi-public character and will benefit and will, that will present a benefit for future residents of Sussex County by providing such a use in a convenient location. This approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. The use will be limited to a small tree and landscaping business, snow removal services, and the chopping and storage of firewood. Applicant shall install a 30-foot landscape buffer along the rear of the site due to the proximity to the neighboring property. The landscape buffer shall be shown on the final site plan. No burning of any waste associated with the landscape business shall be permitted at any time, including to but not limited to bark, branches, and the like. Ordinary domestic fires and barbecues associated with the use of the dwelling are permitted. The hours of operation shall be limited to 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, with no Sunday hours of operation. Grinding, cutting, mulching, or other processing of waste from the landscape business shall only be permitted during the permitted hours of operation. All waste storage areas shall be shown on the final site plan. We're not done, you gotta flip it over. A small dump truck shall be permitted on the site. No backup alarm shall be permitted on any vehicles. The final site plan shall clearly show all the areas for vehicle equipment storage and parking, and these areas shall be clearly marked on the site itself. There should not be any parking or storage within the property setbacks. All property and entrances shall be in compliance with DLDOT requirements and the Sussex County Zoning Code. DLDOT approval shall be required before the applicant receives final site plan approval. One unlighted sign shall be permitted on the property. The sign shall not exceed 36 by 36 inches and shall not be permitted in the front yard setback. All exterior lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. The applicant shall be required to remove all metal, trash, and other debris from the site within 30 days of this approval. The applicant shall at all times maintain the property in neat and orderly condition, which shall include the stacking of all firewood. Failure to comply with any of these conditions shall be grounds for termination of the conditional use approval. The final site plan shall be subject to review and approval by Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. So, move for adoption.
Okay, we're going to take the vote. Mr. Riley, your vote's a yes with your conditions,
yes.
I assume. Mr. Hudson?
Yes. With the conditions placed by Mr. Riley.
Mr. Wilson?
My answer is yes. By the conditions that placed by Mr. Riley.
Mr. Burton?
I appreciate Mr. Riley's conditions, and I think it's going to be a challenge for this applicant, but I welcome the opportunity for him to clean the site up and maintain a business that looks like it's a business that should be there. I think that the type of business fits into the area that it is in. But there's a lot of work to be done, which is going to fall on you, Mr. Whitehouse, and so my motion is in favor of Mr. Riley's recommendation for approval.
I also share some of Mr. Burton's concerns, having seen what the property was, and I'm not sure how much has been done to help that case since then. But I think the condition Mr. Riley's placed on there, it should be, if they're followed through on, it should be a much better looking place for the neighbors, a better place for a business. So based on Mr. Riley's recommendation and conditions placed, I'll vote yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Our next item of all business is change of zone 1900 Michael P. Justice, trustee. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held on January 28th. There was some discussion at that meeting as to the recommended conditions of approval for stormwater management and the easements that were located on the northwest side of the site. At that meeting, action was deferred for further consideration. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Whitehouse?
Did we reach agreement?
I don't know. I would have Mr. Riley put on the agenda, I'm going to assume somebody reached something, so.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to lead it, or you want me to just?
Yes, there is a potential, in addition to the conditions on B, that when the appropriate time would come, and it would indicate a copy of the draft agreement to include provisions for the maintenance of all drainage easements shall be submitted as part of the final site plan.
My hesitation of the day that they were here for the public record was that there seemed to be uncertainty as to who would be handling the drainage onto the adjoining properties, and they seemed to be unsure among themselves as they were giving testimony. So the recommendation was to approve it with one change, which would be that a copy of the draft agreement to include provision for the maintenance of all drainage easements shall be submitted as part of the final site plan. So, and then, other than that, unchanged as it was submitted, but just to be sure that point is addressed.
Okay, so what you want to do, you want to amend?
Yes.
Yes.
What we would do is read the short title with the current conditions,
and then
after that do the amendment to add this to it.
Okay. Anything else that gets?
I think that was the only.
So the idea is that the maintenance and the easement and the for everything gets determined later?
So as currently drafted, as amended, condition B would require a copy of those documents to be provided and reviewed as part of the site plan approval process through the commission, which gives us sight of the HOA docs and what goes in them and what provisions are taking place. Now, there are a number of things that we police as part of that process anyway and that we check, but this would give us additional abilities to look at additional provisions within those documents. And then they would ultimately be adopted and then enforced by the HOA in perpetuity. So,
well, wasn't it a question of the one property with the subdivision and then the other property with the with the drainage? So aren't you tying, how are you tying the two together?
So the easements that would be created as part of this application process would be those within the site boundary. But there was some discussion about whether access would be needed onto the adjoining properties. So that ideally would be resolved as part of this process and through the site plan, because these are important questions that need to be established before any final site plan approval is given. So this process gives us the ability to ask these questions and to get answers and put those before the commission. So
if you agree to it on, I mean, I see agreement on the development side of the deal, right? Mm-hmm. The guy wants to develop it, I'll take care of the maintenance, right? I'll take it. But then the other guy has to agree to it as well, which is not part of this site plan.
So as currently drafted, there is no requirement to source and obtain the agreement of the third party landowner. That could create a ransom scenario from the adjoining landowner that could halt the entire development. But the way it is drafted at the moment is that this would go to the commission, and the commission would be able to make that call. Is, has there been a genuine attempt to secure an appropriate agreement? Is it appropriately worded? If so, move forward. If not, why not? So, but to codify that into a condition of approval would create a ransom scenario for the applicant that they wouldn't be able to proceed forward, or potentially wouldn't be able to proceed forward. So I would suggest advise against trying to put that into a condition.
No, I don't think they ought to be held. I don't think the developer ought to be held, you know, hostage by the other guy. But there ought to be. There was. I'm trying to remember. There was whether who cleaned who. The pipe ran across both properties, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So who clogged the pipe up? I don't know, right? So whose responsibility is it to clean the pipe? So how do you come up with that agreement?
As drafted, there's a mechanism there for us to see what the applicant comes up with following discussions with the adjoining landowner. So at the moment, that wording has not been devised. But this process and the condition as worded would allow us to investigate and explore that, and ultimately it would be down to the Planning and Zoning Commission to decide, are they comfortable approving the draft agreement and the site plan as part of their review. So what it does is it puts another layer of review in place before any site plan approval is given. And if the Commission is not comfortable with the wording that they're seeing, they can always refuse to approve the site plan. So, but what I'm saying is I think there's a degree of trust here to the Commission to try and get that right. So although that wording does not currently exist as to what goes in the agreements. So.
And does DENREC weigh in on this? So the agreement that this party has, right, is that an agreement also with DENREC?
We, as part of final site plan approval, as part of that process, the applicant is required to give us whatever agency approvals we deem necessary as a decision maker. That does include Sussex Conservation District, who will be looking at this anyway from their perspective. If we decide as a decision maker, as a county, to require DENREC to weigh in on this as part of the Commission's consideration, then we can ask for some documentation and a letter of no objection. So,
because there's an agreement between the party, and then there's an agreement that agreement works, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right.
Yep.
So, okay. And did Planning and Zoning approve this?
It was recommended.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yep.
They did. Yep. So, I mean, my understanding is that with this language, we're essentially saying it's approved, but you still have to resolve this before Planning and Zoning releases it. But it makes it more of an administrative process at that point than, you know. So we're saying it's approved, you know, as long as you get that resolved.
That's the
way I understand it.
Correct. So.
Yeah, you understand it?
Yes, and if you recall during the hearing, there was some question about who was going to pay for it, because we had some people here that was next door that liked what was happening with some of the drainage. Some discussions took place afterwards, but then there was some confusion, if you recall, between the applicant's engineer and attorney as to what mechanism they were going to use to ensure payment of that. And we're saying you've got to have some document, a final document in place before you get the final site plan approved that addresses that issue.
Payment as well as functionality.
As the easement, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
my concern, I think, is what I heard the day we had the hearing and what I saw in testimony of Planning and Zoning, the big issue from the people that lived that had houses next door from the developer was he needed access to their property to clean out this ditch. And I don't hear anybody say we can give them access.
Then my understanding is that...
not saying that they wouldn't, but I didn't hear anybody say, oh yeah, you can, whatever, you know what I mean?
And then it wouldn't be approved, right?
It stands right. The Commission to say we're not comfortable.
Because you would require access to that.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The expectation is that the document that comes forward as part of this condition is drafted clearly explains how they're going to achieve that.
Okay.
And any agreements that they have in place.
That looks at both sides, which is really hard to do, right? Because this side is... maybe has a water issue, right, has a flooding issue, and now this side carries his own water, mm-hmm. but doesn't, it was the backup that was the problem, right?
Correct. So some negotiation is going to be required by the applicant going into this, but that's fairly common for final site plan process. So
can you put that back up on the screen for Mr. Wilson and whoever else was looking at it?
Yeah, I would anticipate that they would come to the final site plan with, it says draft agreement, but I would expect an executed agreement which would have those adjoining property owners and the developer's signature on that document indicating they were in agreement.
And when the work would be performed.
Right.
I mean, I think it can't be at the last house.
So for the proposed amendment, we may take the language, a copy of the draft agreement, to a copy of the executed agreement.
Mr. Wilson, is that what you want to see?
It was this area over here, if I remember correctly. So.
Right. So, Mr. Moore, you now we had, I thought, the amendment, now you want to change the amendment.
We had not made the amendment yet because we had not...
I thought you made it a while ago or somebody...
We had just indicated what it potentially could be.
Right.
Proposed, we've not read the short title or the conditions of P&amp;Z,
okay.
I don't believe.
Did you read short title?
Yes. An ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR General Residential District to a GRRPC General Residential District Residential Plan Community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 16.1 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 9 with 10A through O as conditions.
Was this advertised?
And now there's an amendment.
Then if you move for amendment, the proposed amendment would be a copy of the executed agreement to include provision for the maintenance of all drainage easements shall be submitted as part of the final site plan, and that should be added to the end of B. A
executed agreement or draft agreement?
Yes,
executed, he said. Yeah. Is that going to be your motion, that...
Yeah, my motion would be to amend condition B.
By adding that, well, Mr. Moore just read
that language.
Okay. Okay. I have a motion, Mr. Riley. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. This is for the amendment. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Where's Harry at today?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Riley.
On the motion to amend, I vote yes.
Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes with the amendment and recommendations and conditions.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes for the amendment.
For the amendment. Mr. Burton.
Yes for the amendment.
I vote yes also for the amendment. Now, Mr. Moore, read short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR General Residential District to a GRRPC General Residential District Residential Plan Community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 16.1 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning 1 through 9 with conditions 10A through O as amended by council.
Pleasure, Council. Mr. Riley.
I vote yes.
First, we have to make a motion to adopt that.
Oh, yes. Motion to adopt.
Second.
Second.
Mr. Burton, any questions? Now we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley.
I vote yes as amended with the conditions recommended by planning and zoning.
Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes as amended based on the recommendations and conditions by planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on John Robertson's recommendations.
For the recommended planning and zoning as amended.
PSE's what they amended.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Burton.
I'm in favor of planning and zoning's recommendation and the amendment.
I also vote yes for the amendment as amended. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I guess why don't we see if somebody's here for our public hearing, we'll move to that and get that done and back up on the agenda.
Yes, we'll do that now.
Yep.
Yep. Is anyone in? As soon as you're done, you can
show you.
Step down and you'll wipe it down and we're...
I'm not presenting the mayor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Moore, why don't you do your stuff while we wait on him.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for our County Council zoning hearings at this time. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance, amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender, identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the PNC hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the PNC hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on the application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the County Council hearing, council will defer action on those applications and will accept and consider written comments only from the public on the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation for a period of 5 calendar days following the PNC Commission's issuance of its recommendation. This does not preclude the County Council from requesting additional information as permitted. There is one slight change today. Instead of someone signing the log today, I will take the name and address so that we have that. And the first hearing and only hearing we have on today is Indian River School District. Mr. Wiggins.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a special needs school to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 32.43 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Patriots Way, approximately 0.73 mile north of Zoll Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcel ID is District 132. Map 7, parcel 8.01. Staff would note for the record that we have received a site plan, a DLDOT service level evaluation response, a staff analysis, the comments from the PLUS review, and we have received zero comments in support and zero comments in opposition. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing for the application at its meeting of February 13th of this year. At its meeting of February 27th of this year, the Commission recommended that the application be approved for the seven reasons and subject to the four recommended conditions as outlined in the memo before County Council, and that memo also includes the minutes of those meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Booth is here on behalf of Indian River School District. Mr. Booth.
When Mr. Whitehouse steps down, he'll get that thing clean for you, and then you can.
Sorry about that, Jimmy.
Sure not to touch again, you'll have food.
Do you hear your name and address?
We good? Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Joe Booth. I work for the Indian River School District. The address of the district's office is 31 Hosier Street. My personal address is 118 West Pine Street, Georgetown, 31 Hosier Street in Selbyville, Delaware. Thank you. First off, I'd like to thank you for continuing to hold this public hearing. We are trying to stay on schedule that will permit us to break ground in early November. Currently, DelDOT has been the sticking point in this project. We're in the middle of going through a complete agency review, as mentioned. The current Ennis School was built in the 1960s, located in back of Deltec Community College. Through the years, its mission has changed, as well as equipment has developed so that it no longer is able to meet the needs of the current clients. The Indian River School District that oversees this special school, located at that site, is proposing to put this on a state property that is fairly centrally located and free. And that is next to the current Stokely Center and across the street from Sussex Central High School. The site is near educational uses, and ownership was transferred by the Delaware Health and Social Services to the district for this purpose. Across the street is Sussex Central High School, a district-owned school that would be interested in the future of working on programs for educational purposes and collaboration with and opportunities with the students that the new school will serve. The existing tie-ins to Georgetown wastewater collection systems will be used, and approvals have been obtained. A well water system, as used by Sussex Central, will also be constructed, making amenities a plus for the site. The immediate neighbors are the state of Delaware, the district, and the district. There was no opposition recorded, as mentioned, at the planning and zoning meetings. There was no opposition recorded at district public meetings when the school district held their discussions in public. So there's been no opposition to this. The conditional use is being sought by the district is consistent with the area and the present zoning and uses of that area. The district was asked by planning and zoning chairman at that hearing, Mr. Wheatley, to consider the county's new I-1 or institutional zoning in the future, and that is not a problem with the district. At the time of this application, the district did not know that this was approved by the county council, nor were we advised to go that particular route. The plan calls for a school of approximately 94,000 square feet, which is not quite double the existing 62,000 square feet where the present school is located. The service level evaluation response is based on 150,000 square feet for the additional buildings to service the special needs school. Staff and visitor parking will also be better accommodated at this new approved site as opposed to the site on Ennis Road. In closing, the district has no issues with complying with the stipulation put forth by planning and zoning decision. And it's my understanding, I'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have. And I'll pass these remarks and this paperwork over for the record.
Thank you, sir. Any questions of council?
Questions of council.
Mr. Burton, what's the holdup with Delta?
They asked for a traffic study be completed. Sussex Central High School has grown. It was built for 1,500 students, located right across the street, and it now services about 1,800 students. They have done some work in front of the school, but there is quite a bit of traffic going through there. The district plans, not a secret, we hold our meetings in public, and we just had approved a referendum that will allow us to build a new high school on the corner on Avenue of Honor and also Patriots Way, which is where the site that we're talking about
and the Sussex Central site are across from each other. So it has put some burden on that site. Del Dot is mainly interested in the entrance and the ingress and the egress of that property. And they wanted to know how many students were going to be served, how many staff was going to be there, and we plan on putting our busing hub there as well because it is in the center of the district.
Are they looking at that holistically with two new schools?
I think they are, but I think they can only look at what is currently being presented, and what's currently being presented is the Howard T. Ennis School. So I think that they are taking a look, that's what we're planning on doing. We haven't made any secret of what we're doing. Now, the middle school, if you change the Sussex Central High School to middle school, it would be less traffic. You won't have seniors, 10th graders, 11th graders, 12th graders traveling to the school. You have middle school students, so it'll lessen that area. But down on the corner, you'll have more traffic. Then across the street, you have state-owned buildings, such as the public health building and all the buildings that they're renting out now in the Stokely Center. Use so that the area is kind of grown a little bit, where it would put a little bit of burden on the road, and particularly the highway, where, you know, we'd like to see a light put in.
Yeah, I would hope that they would, because that area is being an educational center that,
yes,
revolves around cars and buses and all the state workers. If they had a master plan for the road that you could plan your buildings about, this one and the next one, it would certainly make sense.
Correct. So, as I mentioned in my remarks, we agree to abide by whatever Del Dot comes up with. You know, it's money. In this particular case, this school is paid for 100% by the state. The new Sussex Central High School will be 65% by the state and 35% by the district. Anything beyond the square footage allowed by the state, we have to come up with local tax dollars. But Del Dot's looking at connectability with sidewalks and whatnot. And again, we're not opposed to any of that. The students would be well served if it's nice and safe. And you'd be surprised, Mr. Burton, how many people walk that road during the day for exercise or just to get around.
Is there any transfer back and forth across Patriots Way? I mean, are you
not?
Will the two schools interact in any way?
Yeah, we
athletics
do.
Athletics on one side.
Yeah, in my remarks, I mentioned that we do or are interested in having opportunities, learning abilities for the high school students to interact with a special needs school. So it does make sense to have crosswalks and whatnot. The entrance that's being proposed is the main entrance to Sussex Central High School. So that would be like the hub, if you will. There are two other entrances that allow students to enter their parking lot. And the other entrance is basically for the bus entrance and bus exit. So to kind of separate the students with the buses.
Right.
But the main entrance is for the business that occurs during the school day, maybe meetings at night, et cetera. And that main entrance will, like I said, be directly across from the plan is Howard T. Ennis School, if approved.
Good. Thank you. Any more questions?
I just had two short
ones. Mr. Hudson?
The contribution that you would have to make to the road improvements, have they given you any idea what that might be yet?
No, sir. No, sir. We're having a meeting with Del Dot today to try and iron out that situation. We did contribute to Del Dot about $4,000 to eliminate a study, of which we already know is there, and that's the average daily trips and whatnot, so that they can move to the next phase of what they're going to tell us to do. We also, I think, may have to rely on some of the state legislators to also question what Del Dot's response is going to be. Ultimately, it comes out pretty much out of the same pot, taxpayers' pot. So
you know that as well as anybody, where it comes from and all that.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
And will the new school, the consortium, have a pool?
No, it will not. And the reason why I'm smiling, the current size pool there is built for competition.
Yes.
But the practical use for the Haverty Ennis was for special needs students that have IEPs that require the water temperature to be 90-some degrees, 92 degrees, I believe it is. The swimmers that use it in the afternoon from the high school hop in, they don't like the temperatures up that high. We've had a constant battle, and as you know, having a hot tub the size of an Olympic pool and trying to keep it at 92 degrees is pretty much challenging. The new school is proposed to have a therapy pool. It'll be much smaller in size, and I believe it's like a third for the size, and its whole use will be for that particular school and for therapy use. It'll have a ramp, which the current one has a ramp. This one will have a ramp, and it's dedicated for the use of the students than it will be for any competition or swim teams. There's not enough room for a lap. So
that school is much needed.
So it's not a pool. It's more of a therapy pool. No,
that school is much needed.
Yeah. And they call it a napatorium. Napatorium, okay. I think it is. But, yeah, it's a good question.
Thank you. Any else? No, sir.
Any questions over here?
I do.
Mr. Raleigh.
Joe, wasn't the original proposal for the new high school, didn't it include potentially two other schools in the original proposal?
The existing Sussex Central?
Well, they were going to replace the high school, and then they were going to, I think, another, at least an elementary school.
And yes. I'm going to try to answer you this way because it doesn't really pertain to the Haverty Ennis. The existing high school, what I believe was planned for was for a middle school. Right. There I don't believe there was an elementary school planned there, but the middle school moving in there would free up the existing middle school at Millsboro, right. The town of Millsboro, right. And that could be used as an elementary school. Once that school opened up, then it would help alleviate some of the sending patterns that overcrowd other schools, and they would go to Millsboro Middle School. So you'd only have to build the one school. That Sussex Central, as it sits right now, I believe is 197,000 square feet. I believe we're 187,000 square feet. So once an elementary school a middle school goes in that site, there may be some extra room to do some other things, maybe district offices or something along that line. But I don't believe any of those plans have been decided on by the, I'm pretty sure none of the plans have been decided on by the school board itself.
Right.
Its main use is for becoming a new middle school.
I'm just concerned about the overburdening of all of those intersections, particularly Zor Road, where Peterkins meets up with Zor Road is a real issue right now. And also, I think it's a Patriots Way that runs along through there that hooks up at Zor Road. That's a problem.
Yeah.
113 is a problem. The high school is soon going to be, according to what the projections were, soon going to be in excess of 2,200 students. Plus, the middle school will likely fill up rapidly, if potentially even more than the 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, you know, this school, and I heard you say that it's going to be the hub for the school buses also?
Yes.
How many school buses are there?
Right now, I believe the district owns 20 school buses. And it's in a temporary lot next to the existing Sussex Central High School.
That's what you own. Most of them are contracted out.
And most of the rest of the busing is contracted out, but not knowing what the future will hold, we're making room for some additional buses,
right.
And an office at the new Ennis School.
I mean, I think it makes sense on a lot of levels, but I think that the traffic potential to be a nightmare.
Right.
Is really got to be addressed.
Well, I will explain it this way, Mr. Riley. 10, 12, maybe even 15 years ago, there was a concern on Zor Road and where we put the existing, the Sussex Central, current Sussex Central High School.
Mm-hmm.
There was a concern about Zor Road and the two entrances off of Peterkins and onto Patriots Way. Some of it caused by the natural curve of the, and design of Zor Road. Some of it caused by DelDOT when they made it an emergency route.
Right.
And our alternative 24.
Right.
We saw those signs go up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those things contributed to it. But also when you have a high school that's built for 1,500 and currently serves 1,800, that impacted that situation as well. They have well over 200 in staff there. Then you have the Stokely Center. They've added on to their complex as well,
right,
and rented out some of their buildings.
Right.
So I don't think the high school's had 100% of it, but they did have a large chunk in terms of the traffic there. The logical reason why that's such a good site in the Sussex Central, and there's two high schools, Indian River High School and Sussex Central High School in the Indian River District. The Sussex Central sending district, those that are in the Sussex Central portion of the district, that Sussex Central High School, if you were to drop a pin in the middle of that sending district, that's where it would be. So people that get up in the morning and hop on a bus to get to school, throughout that whole Sussex Central sending district, they get up at the same time. The district's not all the way over on one side of the oval of the circle. They're in the exact center of that district. And that's what makes that site attractive to putting the new Harrod T. Ennis school. One, you can find 30 some acres. Two, it's free. But three, its location being just off of the highway is very helpful as well.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I think it makes sense on a lot of levels, but I think to Councilman Burton's point, looking at that area holistically, I mean, I drive there. My son's a senior.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's, I mean, we could be looking at a really knotted up mess every morning and every afternoon. Mm-hmm. If certain things aren't addressed. I don't know if DelDOT's going to, and I don't know what ability we have to,
yeah,
you know, require that or influence that decision. Well, but
well, yeah, we're in agreement with council and the remarks that I've heard from council.
Yeah.
The district would be in agreement. We want safety for our students and staff. I think if you were to plunk down any school that had 1,500 students, 1,800 students, or the proposed 2,200 students that we're doing, the 200-some students and 200-some staff, there's a lot of support staff that go with Harrod T. Ennis and the special needs school and the buses. Wherever you plunk down a new school, I think you're going to have almost the same issue with traffic as well. One of the things that's a plus on this site is that the dual highway does run in close proximity nearby. There would have to be some changes on there, but I think anywhere that you put down a school of just about any size is going to impact the traffic as well.
Maybe you need a stoplight there on the dual highway.
Yeah, we agree. We think so.
Possibly,
and we think we've already contributed to that with the payment that DelDOT asked us to make.
How about a football field? Going to build a new football field?
Well, again, it's not before me. I don't know if they've totally decided on how they're going to do the new school. But in answer to your question, and what's come up in public meetings is that it's going to be shared facilities as much as possible, which is, again, why we were looking at that particular site, that the high school and the middle school could share some of the stadiums and the premier fields for competition. But we would put in less expensive practice fields for them to practice on.
Well, still there are 11 players, so why need bigger fields and spend? Why build more fields?
Is that soccer?
Got one more.
They still got soccer?
Yeah.
They play soccer anyway, don't they?
Yeah.
Any more questions over here?
Soccer.
They come up and play on Sand Hill Road.
Mr. Burton has it. Mr. Burton, you okay?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Burton has a question.
Yeah. I would employ you to take it on, right, yourself with DelDOT to, I think you know all the moving pieces, and you just explained to Mr. Riley and I got kind of lost, right? But I don't know that Deldot understands the, all the missing, all the moving pieces that are, just make sure, you don't want to, you're, like you said, it's all taxpayer dollars, so let's spend it once. But I don't know that they know what you know. I don't know that they don't.
Yeah,
but it's a lot to know what, you know, with the Stokely Center and the, and the football fields.
Correct.
I mean, there's just a lot of stuff going on right there. And if they would take that into a master planning exercise, it could end up alleviating a lot of problems that we know are coming.
Yes, we agree.
Any more questions of council? Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
We need to make sure, Todd, there's nobody out here wants to.
Yes, sir.
Come in and speak.
Can you get through?
Do we have a DNA ability to require certain things like?
I'm sorry, what now?
Do we have any ability to require certain improvements or? Any road improvements?
I said, I don't know, but there's more use to that.
No, we can't tell Deldot.
Can't tell Deldot what to do, huh? They tell us what to do.
It's only worked one way.
Mr. President, I've been told that there has been, there's no one outside the room that would like to address either in favor of or against. There is no one else in the chambers at this time. So at this time, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if council desires, close public record.
We will close the public hearing. We'll close public records. Okay with council?
Yes.
Mr. Morvin, a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a special needs school to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Ming and Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 32.43 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 7 with conditions 8, and they were sub 1 through 4.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Riley.
I'm going to vote yes on the conditions, recommendations of planning and zoning, but with the, I implore you to, I think Mr. Burton's comments are very apropos that, I mean, you live here. You know the intersections probably as well as anybody. And probably a lot better than they do, but I just see it. I see accidents and kids getting hurt, and if they don't step up and improve all that infrastructure. So, but my vote's yes.
Mr. Hudson?
I vote yes based on planning and zoning's recommendations and conditions.
Mr. Burton?
I vote yes with planning and zoning's recommendations and John Riley's caution to Deldot.
I also agree with Mr. Riley's caution to Deldot. And based on the planning and zoning recommendations and conditions, I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Have a good day. We're going to move back on the agenda to grant requests. We'll let Jamie get his stuff done, then we'll wipe it down again for Gina.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you, Joe.
Take care.
Good afternoon. We have six grants for your consideration. The first one is First State Community Action Agency is requesting $3,000 for their 2020 Equity Summit to be held at the Georgetown in the spring of 2020. The full day session is intended to expose the audience to critical thinking and strategic planning process that will result in a direct measurable action in equity related issues in Sussex County. There have been no past grants for this specific purpose, and Mr. Wilson placed on the agenda, which he just walked in.
Since he's not here, can we spend his money for him?
Well, that's, we'll move and see if he comes back.
And then
I'm
we'll
not sure where he went or what to.
Okay, that's fine. The next one is The Coming Edge.
No.
Nope.
That's that one. And that's Mr. Wilson too, I think. So.
Well, Mr. Burton, please.
Okay, you want the two of them.
It's the two of them.
Oh, two of them. Next one, Trinity Foundation?
Sure, you jump in.
Trinity Foundation is requesting $1,000 for the 10th annual Heart and Soul 5K. Funds generated from this event will benefit the Cardiac Rehabilitation Unit and Anacoke Health Services. Last grant received was $750 from Mr. Vincent, and Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
Somebody make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $750 from my account's bank account to Trinity Foundation for their annual Heart and Soul 5K fundraiser. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, next one. Cape and Lopin Senior Center is requesting $1,600 for the Rehoboth Concert Band fundraiser. Monies received will be used for the offset expenses of the event. Last grant received was $1,300 from Mr. Cole and Mr. Hudson, placed on the agenda.
Hudson.
I make a motion to grant $1,300 from my account.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton, to grant $1,300 from Mr. Hudson's Council MAG account to the Cape and Lopin Senior Center for Rehoboth Concert Band fundraiser. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next one is Ocean Waves Quilt Guild. They're requesting anywhere from $800 to $1,000 for their Fabric of Life art quilt show to be held on April 2021 in Georgetown. The show will help raise funds to support their mission of education and community service work throughout the county. There have been no past grants to this organization. Mr. Burton placed on the agenda.
Burton.
My recommendation is $800 for Ocean Waves Quilt Guild and Art Show.
From your accounts, back.
My accounts.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson, to grant $800 to the Ocean Waves Quilt Guild for Art Quilt Show fundraiser. Mr. Burton's accounts bank account. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Next. Okay, next one. Greater Lewis Foundation, on behalf of Lewis and Bloom, is requesting $800 for their children's learning garden. The garden provides hands-on experience through supervised activities by library volunteers and community members. Last grant received was $700 from Mr. Burton, and Mr. Burton placed on the agenda.
Burton.
My recommendation is for $800 for the Greater Lewis Foundation for the children's learning garden.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson, to grant $800 from Mr. Burton's Council MAG account to the Greater Lewis Foundation for Lewis and Bloom Children's Learning Garden. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Obvious motion carried. Now let's revert back to the First State Community Action Agency for Mr. Wilson.
Okay. The First State Community Action Agency is requesting $3,000 for their 2020 Equity Summit to be held in Georgetown in the spring of 2020. The full-day session is intended to expose the audience to critical thinking and strategic planning process that will result in direct, measurable action to equity-related issues in Sussex County. There have been no past grants for this purpose, and Mr. Wilson placed on the agenda.
Mr. Wilson.
How much have I given in the past?
This is a brand new summit. You haven't given brand anything in the past.
Brand new request.
Yes.
And they're asking for $3,000.
$2,000.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton, to grant $2,000 from Mr. Wilson's council bank account to the First State Community Action Agency for Equity Summit expenses. Questions on the motion? Summit. Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next one is The Coming Edge. They're requesting $3,000 for their youth empowerment program. The Milford-based nonprofit focuses on giving young people who often fail to make successful transition to adulthood the skills, resources, and information they need to become independent adults who contribute to society. The funds requested will be used to purchase computers and an office printer. There have been no past grants to this organization, and Mr. Burton placed on the agenda.
Burton.
I would be in for $500, and Mr. Wilson is in for $500.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
To grant $1,000 to the Coming Edge for Youth Empowerment Program, being $500 Mr. Burton's Council MAG account and $500 Mr. Wilson's Council MAG account. Questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore, any introduction, proposed zoning ordinances?
There are none, Mr. President.
Okay. Council member comments? Council member comments. Anybody? Hearing none, we will move, entertain a motion to go into executive session for pending litigation and land acquisition.
Mr.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I'm out of executive session. I'm going to stay in this room.
Make a pit stop.
Right, we'll be able to executive session.